All right, so how's it going? Pete, that was awesome. Because I have felt that way. I was like, well, I know Randy has too, so we're going to race each other, see who's out of here first. So, no, just kidding. But you know, we do have an accuser, and he's always telling us, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. We know that, right? But guess what? Jesus loves you, right? Have you ever seen those tracts that people pass out that are like that? It puts a person's smile on your face just when you see a smiley face, right? We live in a world of emojis, right? Everybody's using emojis. So I was like, we're going to have a little fun tonight, okay? And I hope it's encouraging. And I'm just going to use the scripture, and we'll see where it takes us. Will you guys pray for me real quick, and then I'll pray for you, and then we'll get started. All right, Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for that all that are gathered here. We also pray for those that aren't, that might be traveling. Lord, keep them safe as they're traveling. Let them enjoy themselves, too, as they get to spend time away. So, God, we just pray that you speak through me tonight, God, and I just pray that someone gets a nugget, Lord. Give them ears to hear. So we just thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. And I also want to pray for Eric and Randy as they are going to be going to Uganda next week. So we need to be prayer specific while they're gone to pray for them every single day for their safety, and as well as all the people that are coming to hear the good news. It's going to be awesome, God. So we just thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. How awesome is that? All the good stuff that's going on in Uganda through Misfits, but Jesus is in control of everything, right? But you guys are part of that, okay? This is headquarters. Out there, you're part of that too. That's your fruit, okay? So if you're involved here, you're involved there. You're involved in India. You're involved in Wisconsin. Anything that goes through here is spread out through there. So it's not just here. So if you're thinking it just happens just here, there's a lot more going on outside. And there's some amazing things happening. So we want to make sure we lift those guys up throughout the week, okay, for their safety and everything that's going. And God has provided a way. He's provided everything that they need for that, as well as already over there, they're preparing for those guys to come. So the hearts over there are already starting to hear, hey, they're coming. And it's not the people coming. They're bringing the good news. It's Jesus that's coming. And it's crazy because I kind of wish we had a couple pictures before you went, and as well as when you're over there. But to see what's going on and the hunger that they have, it's amazing. And when you see God working, it's hard not to just smile and go, wow, you're real and you're working. You're changing people's lives right before our eyes. We've seen people change in here. We've all changed some, right? Yeah. So it's been a real busy week. Everybody's busy, right? We've been working outside. We've been enjoying the weather. It's humid, hot and humid. It's been good. But get a little break from the sun anyway. But today, is it Jesus calling? Yeah. He's calling again? He always calls when I'm up here. Yeah, maybe he wants to talk to me, yeah. But where was I? Oh, a busy week. So been running around, and today I got to move all day. That was great. I moved my sister-in-law. But you were talking about being prayer specific. It's been on my mind all week of all the stuff that I have to do. Everything has to fall in place. We have to get there. She lives in Mexico. She moved to Bellflower. And then get home, and then drive all the way back out here, and sometime find time to study, and get here on time, and be relaxed and not stressed. And guess what? It was a perfect day. It was perfect. It was the easiest move. U-Haul was 2 minutes from her house. We got there, and we're like, I'm going to kill her. Where's the truck? Well, it's around the corner. I was like, okay, you're lucky. But God, you know how it is when you move. You don't want to pack anything. You don't want to do anything. You want everything to be there. You want the food to be there. You want everything. Everything was in line. It was perfect day. We had 9 family members show up to help it move, so it went really, really quick. And we had fun. We even had time because I went there and I said, listen, I'm leaving at X time. I'm setting up my boundaries right now. You guys got me till about 12:30, and I'm gone. I don't care where we are. I'm gone. We were done by then. We're standing around talking, going, we got time to burn. How cool is that? I was like, thank you, Jesus. Even the small stuff he's in, right? I was like, whew. So, we're going to read Romans chapter 8. This is toward the end of chapter 8, and verse 31 starts. And I love this because this is so encouraging. You might be, is anybody struggling right now with anything? Might be down, just heavy hearts, whatever, maybe. Maybe you feel like quitting. Don't quit. God loves you, man. He loves you through everything that you're doing. He's involved in it. So let's just see what he says. So my first question is, well, the header on here says, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Look, there's nothing. It's us that separates it. Usually we take off. And he'll be patiently waiting. If you've been gone and you're back, hallelujah. So my first question is, do you think God's for us or against us?
For us.
Amen. So if he's for us, is there anything that can separate us from him? No. Because he's the giver of everything, right? If God gave us his son, he's given us everything we need, right?
Right.
Everything. So let's check out what Paul has to say here. He says, so what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Think about that. If God is for you in everything that you do, who could stand against you? We have an adversary. Yeah, there's a few of them. But guess what? God's bigger than all that. He's way bigger than the devil. The devil wins when we let him win. But if we're chasing after Jesus all the time, it's going to keep him out. He can't win. He has to flee in the name of Jesus. If you're under attack or things are not going your way, just cry out to Jesus for help. Satan has to leave in Jesus' name. And I've seen it happen before because I've been in situations where you get somewhere and let's just say there's some arguing going on or whatever, but when you go ahead of time and say, Jesus, get the devil out of here, it calms things down. It does. It's for real. If you believe it, it's for real. He will drive them out. Now, it may not be a perfect situation, but it's going to de-escalate right off the bat. So how do you know that God's with us? Paul has a few questions here that he's asking us. So, if God is for us, who could ever be against us, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us? Won't he also give us everything else? If he gave us Jesus, he's given us everything we need. Holy Spirit, we get Jesus, we could tap into the power source, and I think a lot of us, guilty as charged, we don't tap into the power that's available. We might say we're saved, and we might have a salvation, and we might have a small relationship with God, but there's a lot more to go. There's a lot more to go. God's going, bring everything you have to me. Bring it. I'm bigger than all of your problems. I'm bigger than everything because he's God, right? He's in control. So he says, well, who dare accuse us from God that's chosen his own? Absolutely no one. For God himself has given us the right standing within himself. So who then can condemn us? No one. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you have a sin debt about this high that you could never pay. But when you surrender to Jesus, he pays your debt. You no longer have that debt to carry. There's no more shame. There's no more guilt. He takes care of all of that. And sometimes it's up to us to just let it go. Let it go. And I know from my own personal experience, when I was first saved, I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel worthy of God. And I kept thinking, why would you choose me? I have nothing to bring to the table. He's like, that's exactly why I want you. That's exactly why I want you. We can do something with you. And I was like, it took me a while to figure this thing out a little bit. But the thing is, you have to dig. You have to want it because it's available. It's whatever you want it to be. If you just want to have a little meek faith, you can have a meek faith. If you want to have a lot of faith and do a lot of amazing things, let Jesus work through you, that's available too. You want to go on mission trips? That's available too. It's all up to you to make the decision on what you want. Really. I would encourage anybody, if you haven't done anything to strengthen your faith, just get out of the boat and do something. Something happens when you get involved. No matter what you do, it could be anything. Something happens to your faith. It starts to grow. And you start to meet other people, and you start to see your life change. And guess what? It's okay, because nobody's perfect. Remember Diane said that last week? She's not perfect. Neither are we. Nobody except Jesus is perfect, right? So that's the cool thing about recovery groups and some of the other groups that we have. You could talk about stuff, and you realize everybody else is just like you.
That's right, Mary.
They're just like you. They have the same problems, maybe different degrees, or maybe you've gone through something that you can help somebody else out. That they probably won't say it in a setting like this, but maybe in a group where there's less people and a little more private, they will. God might be pulling on your heart now to just say, just step out and do something. Just step out. Test him. He almost dares you. He's like, bring it. Bring anything you got. I'll take it. So nobody can condemn us. I forgot where it was. Okay. For Christ died for us, raised to life for us. He is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Remember a couple weeks ago when Randy mentioned the advocate? He's our advocate. He knows everything. The accuser is Satan. He's the one that's accusing you of things. And Jesus is saying, oh, he's mine. He's mine. Yes, he might be a filthy, rotten whatever. But guess what? He's mine, and he's forgiven. Okay? And the accuser is just going to keep piling on. But guess what? We have the best defense attorney. That might get some of your guys' attention. You guys might have been in trouble. I'll figure I'd throw that attorney out there. That'll wake you up. Okay. Now you know. We got the best defense attorney ever. Jesus Christ. Right? Am I boring you? You sit in the front, you get picked on. So Christ is pleading for us. Okay, in verse 35 it says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? We've all been in that, right? Somewhere in some of those words, we've all experienced some of that stuff. But guess what? He loves us so much that he's with us everywhere we go. Everywhere. And he wants us to be more involved in your life. Instead of just Saturday night, let him in. Whoa.
Come on, man.
And a gust of wind comes by. Holy Spirit just went by. Form of air conditioning, man, but okay. So we all have trouble, right? Let's go to James 1:2 real quick. Boom. That was supposed to be 1:2-4. Okay, let me find it here. I'll read it real quick. Yeah, I'm getting there. My notes are falling all over the place here. Okay. No, it's James 1, verse 2. 2-4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Right? So when you're going through these troubles sometimes and you're like, how can I have pure joy in trouble? Because God is with you. God is with you everywhere you go. Sometimes we experience calamities. Sometimes it seems like your life is completely falling apart, but it's for a reason. God's in that too, believe it or not. I feel sometimes when we do stupid things. And of course, we get the consequences that come. I think he's in the consequences to help us get back to where we need to be. You know, because it's kind of a self-inflicted wound, but he's there to help you heal so you don't do it again, for one. Has he been hungry or destitute or in danger? As the scripture says, for your sake, we're killed every day and we're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loves us. Look at verse 38. These two here, if you're having a tough time, you might want to keep these in your pocket. Tim, you still keeping the verses in your pocket? These are good ones. It says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. He just talked about going through all the calamity, the trouble, the hunger, the death, or anything. God is near the brokenhearted, too. If you've lost somebody and you just don't know what to do, God's in that, too. Paul writes, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from that, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Scripture says, don't worry, right? Philippians 4:6, don't worry. Don't worry. How many people worry? How about deep concern? That's how I was on this whole week. I was watching the week play out, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God, I'm not worried. You said, don't be worried, and I trust you, God. And guess what? He came through. He came through in a big way. Deeply concerned, for sure. But he took care of it. He says he takes care of his children. That's exactly what he did. So we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Get through today, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own, right? Nothing we can do about tomorrow until it gets here, right? Take it day by day. Recovery is the same way. It's day by day, right? Tammy, can I say you got a year of recovery? Yeah. Woo! Betsy, 6 months?
Yeah.
I love it. It works, right? Jesus works?
Yes.
Amen. Man. For sure. For sure. So don't worry about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell could separate us from God's love. All this evil that's going on, it cannot separate us from God. Now we might get scared and run off, but he's not going to. He loves you that much. No power in the sky above or below the earth, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. That's a woo. That is a woo. Yeah. So remember those two. Remember those two verses when times get tough. Nothing can separate us. He loves you. He still has his arm right around you. When you're going through depression or whatever you're going through, he's there. He's there to hold you, to comfort you, to keep you going. He gives you strength when things get crazy. Because in this life, it's going to get crazy at some point, right? And I feel like we're going to be coming into some really crazy times, because if it plays out like it's written, it's coming. You know? I mean, and so far, it's doing exactly like it says it's going to. And we don't know when he's coming back, but we know he is. And we have to be prepared. You know, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Guess what? Hell is too. It's already prepared for Satan to end up there in the end. We win in the end, if you guys read the end of the book. We win. All we have to do is hold on to get there. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's sad when you see people give up, especially when they've been walking for a while. And you see some of the God working through their life, and they get offended or whatever it is, and they quit. And you're like, really? You've seen God work in your life. Have you forgotten what he's done for you? That part's hard for me to just see somebody walk off. Because I know when you walk off, you're either going to shipwreck your faith or it's done. You're never coming back. People get the attitude, we're only people, right? We don't get it right all the time. We might offend somebody. We might hurt somebody's feelings. Come on, man. We got to be tougher than that. We got to be tougher. The easiest thing to do would just be walk off. That's not what God wants. He wants to use each and every one of you guys. All of us, dude. He's got a plan for all of us. He wants to work through you guys. And it doesn't have to be anything elaborate, although it could be. All you have to do is influence your little sphere around you. That's all you have to do. Sometimes that's harder, though. We've all experienced that, right? Family's probably the toughest. They're the ones that need it the most. But you can't be a prophet in your own town. Bible says that too. It's funny because you could say the same thing and somebody else walk in and say it, and they'll go, "Did you hear what he did you know what he said? He said Jesus loves me." No. Exactly. I've heard that a couple times, just like, really? I guess you don't remember those conversations or whatever. But anyway, God gets the glory for everything that happens anyway. So, you know, it just, excuse me, it's just hard to see people struggling when they don't have to. If you just tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that you were given, maybe it's dormant in your life. Maybe you're just walking around saved, and that's it. Maybe you're rocking your helmet of salvation, and that's all you have. No wonder you're getting beat up. Seriously. You got to put on the whole armor to protect your whole self, right? You're just walking around like, no wonder your faith is weak. No wonder you're easily offended. No wonder you have no joy. No wonder you have no peace. No wonder. When have you done anything to feed the fire? You know, we're coming into fall, and that's a great time for bonfires, right? But you know when they go down, you have to put more wood on it to keep it going, right? Your faith is the same way. You got to keep adding to it to keep it going. You know, otherwise, you're just going to get kicked around, tossed around on the waves. It's without a doubt. Life is hard, and you want to quit, but don't quit. So let's move on. I'm going to move on over to Romans 5, starting in verse 3. Well, I'm just going to back it up to verse 1 because I like this too. The header says, faith brings joy. How true that is, right? It's real joy. Not happiness, it brings real joy. And all these times it's talking about. And verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. We're no longer enemies. If you've opened your heart to Jesus, you're no longer an enemy of his. I've said this before. The first time I heard that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you don't know God. You're an enemy of God. Like, I am? Like, yes, you are. Okay. Being good enough is not good enough. You can't get there on your own merit. So now that we have faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Verse 3, it says, we can rejoice too. When we run into problems and trials, for we know that they'll help us develop endurance. God uses those trials in your life to build endurance, to build your character. Sometimes it hurts. God's school is hard sometimes. But when he points things out, don't just tuck them back under the rug. There's a reason why things are happening. There's a reason why he's pointing these things out in your life. You need to deal with it. Yeah. And I know for years, back in the day, when it would get before Christ, you get crazy, your life's a mess, and you just put it in the closet and close the door. Drink another beer or whatever your choice was. I don't want to deal with it. It's too much to deal with. I don't want to deal with it. Well, meanwhile, you're just building your own prison. Right. More stuff keeps happening. You keep denying it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Let's lock it down. Don't want to talk about it. Forget that. Then you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my God, my life's a mess. What am I going to do? Oh, well, I don't want to do that either. I don't want to deal with it. Put that in a closet. Don't want to deal with it. Did it for years until I met Christ. And then he started giving me the strength to open that door. And God's going, okay, Barry, just pull something out and we'll deal with it. There's plenty in there. I was like, okay. My closet looked like those ones that when you open the door, everything just falls out. That's how I felt like my sin debt was. I was like, God, he's like, it's over. It's done. It's paid for. Don't dwell on the past. Let it go. You're free now. How about that? Could you imagine having to write a check for your sin debt? That'd be a big number for all of us, right? But we don't have to. Exactly. So to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of our character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Spirit to fill our hearts with love. You know, the whole Bible talks about love, how much God loves you, and how much we're supposed to love other believers. Well, we love everybody, really, although some of the non-believers are hard to love. They're like porcupines sometimes. You know, it's like, okay, you're pretty cool, but I don't know if I want to touch you. Because I used to have some friends back in the day. It would be like petting a rattlesnake, I always said. I was like, man, you're just mean. You are just mean. You know, God has a funny way of dealing with all of us. And he deals with all of us in different ways. You know, it could be through anything. God uses anything that he possibly can to get our attention and to show his love for us. Nature, it can be anything. God speaks through anything. If you're in tune. If you're not in tune, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss those gas station things or the hardware store things or when you bump into people. Most of the time when you're in the biggest hurry, that's when God wants to slow you down. He'll put that person that you need to talk to right in your path. When you're like, no, God, you don't know. I'm a busy man. I got to go, man. I got miles to go. He's just like, just take it easy. I got this. Exactly. There's one right there. That's a good one right there. Flat tire. That's exactly right. Wow. Well, now I go back to James again. I forgot to read that. I got sidetracked here. I did. We got to talking about. Yeah, big time. I need a big squirrel. Yeah, squirrel. I got ahead of myself last time. Where's the squirrel? There he is. Okay, it develops endurance. So in verse, let's see, I got the first one. Oh, consider pure joy. Okay, for now. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. How about that? God's going to use every trial in your life for the good. And sometimes it could be anything, too. It could be a health issue, and you don't understand why. Why, God? Why? There's a reason. And it's his choice. He does what he does. But he does it to draw you closer to him. You know? And even when you get in when your life's out of control, he's using all of that stuff to get your attention. I can guarantee if your life's a total wreck right now, seek Jesus and just watch what happens. Because a lot of times it's like that because you haven't been seeking Jesus. It's amazing how it works. God is so good and he loves us so much that he wants to be involved in everything with all of us. So we can rejoice. Endurance develops strength of character. And character strength are a confident hope of our salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. You know, when God's working on you, you get to keep your personality, however that is. He just changes your character. He makes you a little more stand up. You know, he just does things. You guys heard of the Home Depot, Walmart switch thing where people buy something and they take it back just for the cash? I heard somebody say that the other day, and I was like, you know that's stealing, right? Well, they're a $1 billion company. It doesn't matter. Well, it does to God. You know, and you're thinking about it, like, yeah, you're right. So I'm hoping that I was able to speak in that person's life a little bit to go, hey, man, that's not right. That's not right. Just stop that stuff. You don't need to be doing that kind of thing. Although evidently it's an issue because Home Depot, I don't know how you control it. I've heard some of the workers there talking about the same thing. People buy it at one store, come in, get the money, and just keeps going. The stealing. He develops your character. He makes you more stand up. And the funny thing is, when your character changes a little bit, you want to start helping people where before you never noticed them. Now it's like God put people in your path. Change my flat tire or whatever it may be. That's how good God is. He's so good. So check this out. I think it's verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at the right time and he died for us sinners. God sent his son for us to die to pay our sin. He died for us, not only in history when he did it, but he did this personally for us. Now most people won't even be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might die, perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Boy, you'd have to be awfully good, wouldn't you? How good is good, right? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He came after us. He loved us first. Seeked us out. Said, hey, I want you. I want you. You may not believe it, but I want you. And there's a reason why I want you. I know sometimes it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. God chose you. He loved you first. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. You know, when this whole thing goes down, there's going to be people make it, and there's going to be people not make it to heaven. And I think it's going to be a sad time because a lot of people are choosing it, and they don't even know what they don't know. Which makes it even harder because some people are so hard-hearted, they don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the good news of Christ. It's sad when people don't want to at least hear. I'm not saying you have to be saved on the spot, but can I tell you a couple stories? Nah, I don't care. And I'm thinking if you only knew what you don't know, what God could do with you. You know, we see people all the time. There's like, oh, there's a 5-talent guy right there. Boy, he'd be a great Christian. He's one that he's like, I'm not. Don't want to have any part of it. It's going to be sad because it's a choice. You know, you always wonder, it's like, well, he said he's not coming back till everybody around the world has heard. Well, I tell you what, with the internet and everything that's going on and all the missionaries going all around the world, it's getting close. I don't know if there's anybody left out there that hasn't seen some sign of God. Even the natives that are way in the middle of the jungle, they see signs of God. So, I don't know. All I do know is we should be sharing our faith with everybody we can that'll listen, at least a little bit. Just throw the seeds out there. You don't have to preach to them or anything. Just throw little nuggets. You know, kindness goes a long way. And sometimes when you show people love instead of try to pound it into them, you get better results. Just being kind to people, to show them a little love. And then they're going, you're different because nobody else would have done that. What? I'm just doing the norm. This is what we're supposed to do. It's kind of weird when you're supposed to do is different. It's not normal. It's like, that's not normal. Well, not anymore because we live in a selfish world right now. It's all about us. It's all about what we want, our comfort. We've gotten so far off a track of what this was supposed to be. But I guess that's how it was supposed to be, right? God ordained all this stuff, so he's the one in control. F- For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in the wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. If you are a child of God, you're a friend of God. How about that? He calls you friend. Before it says you were an enemy. I'll take the friendship any day. Any day. I'll take my chances with God. You know, some people just want to do what they want to do. That's their choice. But maybe something's going on in your heart. Maybe you're waking up a little bit going, you know what? There might be something to this thing. Because we are different. We should be different everywhere we go. We shouldn't blend into the world and they don't even know you're Christians. Right? Not saying you don't have a bad day, because we all have a bad day. But we should be a decent example for Christ everywhere we go. Like I said, even just kindness or doing small things. I'm going to see if I can remember this story. I got this book, and it has 100 Bible verses of what this country was founded on. There's 100 different stories in there. Like they took one verse or two verses that the preachers or whatever was going on and what God did for this nation at this time. And the one that I read, I was telling Randy about this a couple weeks ago, was God was with us. Who could be against us? And this was in 1747, I think. And America had already been formed. Boston, in a nutshell, Great Britain and France were going to attack Boston. And it had gotten around that we're coming and we're going to burn that thing to the ground because you guys have left our country and you're not going to start your own, so we're going to burn yours to the ground. So there was about 15,000 people in Boston. They didn't even have an army. They had nothing. But they heard of this massive fleet that was coming with all these soldiers coming to destroy their city. You know what they did? They prayed. They had National Day of Prayer back then. And the preacher preached, if God is with us, who could be against us? The only thing, it was an ordinary day. The only thing that was good, because everybody was nervous because they had heard, these guys are coming, they're going to wipe us out. The only thing that was good that day was the weather. In this story, it talks about it was a calm day. The sea was perfect. And if you're looking out, they're getting really worried, going, this is prime time for them to attack us because it's perfect for them. So the preacher gets in there. Beautiful day. He's talking about the sun's coming through the windows and all that. And he starts preaching, God be with us. If you're with us, nobody can stand against us. And about that time, the clouds started rolling in. The sun was behind the clouds and it got dark in the church. And the church bell started ringing from the wind. It was amazing because it's like, so he's preaching louder and he keeps crying out to God, help us, God, because if you're with us, who could be against us? Stop this fleet. And he was just praying and praying and he was crying and everybody was praying. And storm came, hurricane force winds. Wipes out the entire army. Over 8,000 people, the soldiers died. Most of the ships sunk, and the ones that didn't sailed away. Never happened. God protected them. That was an awesome story because I'm thinking, you know what? He's in everything we do, right? And it was the power of prayer and his will, obviously, to get it done. I thought it was just amazing. And there's a ton of those stories in that book. And I love history, so it really did happen. You know, sometimes people hear stories in the Bible and are not quite sure. Oh, how do I know? Well, this one was part of history and they used the Bible part. It wasn't in the Bible, except God is with us. Who could be against us? That was the only scripture in there of this story. So I was like, well, what is there not to believe about that now? Because it's history written in the history books. This is what happened. So I was like, God gets the glory. Amen. Since our friendship with God has been restored by his death. Okay. So now we can rejoice in this wonderful relationship. I just want to say this. God is holy, and sin should be punishable, right? God and sin don't go together. Jesus came to pay our sin debt. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you open your heart, you've been saved. Amen? So I just want to pray, Father. Thank you, Lord. We can rejoice for what you've done for us, God. I just want to pray right now, God, if there's anybody tonight that doesn't know you, Jesus, I just pray that they would just raise your hand. Just let us know, and we can show you how to do that. Are you a friend of God? Or maybe you just have some needs that you might want to just share with somebody in prayer, because we know prayer works, God. And I just pray for anybody. If you're tugging on their hearts, that they don't let fear stop them. Kind of like Pete said earlier, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We need to nail this thing down. When you open your heart to Christ, you're going to live with him in eternity, because sin just brings death, and that's it. So, Father God, I'm just asking, if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know you, Jesus, that they will step out in faith. If you just raise your hand. If you need any prayer or anything, God, just raise your hand. Please, Lord. Okay, Father, we just thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your written word, God. You are so amazing, and we thank you so much that you love us the way that you do. Thank you, God. In your mighty name, amen.